becomes, as it tells you here in Ephesians chapter 3, he is now given the responsibility to share this matchless, incredible message with the Gentiles and to let them know the revelation of this mystery that God has brought us all one.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message, which was broadcast last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the third chapter of Ephesians, where Paul speaks of a great mystery that has been revealed in the New Testament. Pastor Grant reminded us that a divine mystery is something God had hidden from previous generations, but had chosen to reveal through His Word to His people. Pastor Grant showed us how this great mystery that had not previously been revealed was that God, through Christ, had united Jews and Gentiles into one body, the church. Yet, Pastor Grant reminded us how, after 2,000 years, the fact that God had made us one remains a challenge in the Church of Jesus Christ. That God had made His people one in Christ has not always been welcome news to all. Yet, this evening, Pastor Grant will lay before us the challenge of responding to this revealed mystery in ways that demonstrate to this fractured world that we, the Church, the body of Christ, truly model the fact that He has made us one. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, God's Mystery Revealed. Here now is Pastor Grant.
What about the Jews? The revelation of the mystery was not welcome news for Jewish men. You see, back in those days, when this is written, it's important we understand the setting of the culture, or you're not going to realize how big a deal this is. Back then, a Jewish man got up, and every morning, if you're a good religious Jewish man, every day you start your day with a nice prayer. You know what your prayer is? God, most marvelous God, majestic God, I thank you that I am a Jew and not a Gentile. Oh, gracious God, I thank you. I'm a man and not a woman. Oh God, I thank you that I'm free and not a slave. You see, Gentiles, slaves, women, they weren't allowed to do a thing in the temple. They could not participate in any temple ceremony whatsoever. We were all relegated to some outer court. We were watching from with binoculars. We were all far. A Jewish woman's life was pretty tough. She was Jewish. But although she was Jewish, you better believe a wife would have to walk six paces behind her husband. You better believe although she couldn't have an inheritance, your daddy could have all the money, you ain't getting diddly. A woman's situation when it came to testifying, you could go to court, but your testimony could not stand on its own because you were not necessarily believed to be credible. A Jewish woman, all these rabbis, no respectable rabbi would ever dare have a woman in the crowd who followed after him. But Jesus rocked the boat. Jesus the revolutionary. You know, sometimes we miss it. You know, people come to church and they say, oh, we miss how revolutionary the gospel is. This gospel is revolutionary. And in a day with all these prejudices and divisions, Jesus comes along and listen, women are following behind him. Even one lady called Mary Magdalene that the Bible said used to have what? Seven demons. And she's in the group that's following this rabbi. In fact, he cared so much for women that when he's on the cross, he remembered his mom. Although she's a woman, he remembers his mom. He's there on the cross. He's dying for the sins of the whole world. But he's thinking about his mom. And he calls to John. And he says, John, here's your mom. You take care of her. He was a revolutionary. Don't you dare ever forget that this message which we preach is a revolutionary message. He changed everything. And what I still is amazing, in a culture where a woman's word didn't matter, he ends up choosing women. Who was it who saw, the first saw the fact that Jesus was alive? It was women. Who was it that he sent to tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive? It was women. It was women who testified that Jesus Christ, who was dead, is now alive. Jesus had changed the status quo upside down. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible tells us that there is no, that, listen, there is neither Jew or Gentile. Amen. There is neither slave or freedom. By the way, just for the record, when Paul is writing this, there are more slaves in the world than free people. I just want you to know that. Because sometimes people get all worked up because of some of the stuff that Paul has to say. You got to remember that here we are writing in a time there are more slaves in the world than free people. And as this revolutionary message is being proclaimed, the apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, says there are no slaves or free people. He's making the point that all those divisions are gone. There's neither male, female, but listen, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Through the miracle of grace, God has made us one. But guess what? The Apostle Paul was one of those Jewish men, you know. He was one of those Jewish men who liked the way things were. And you remember early in his life what he used to do? You remember what Paul was up to? Paul was so determined to make sure the Jewish rules were followed. That any Jew who becomes a Christian, what he wanted to do. Oh yeah. So the Bible tells you that when, I think it was Stephen, was being put to death, Paul was right there, because Paul was going around getting permission to persecute and kill Christians, because he was going to make sure everybody better follow the Jewish religion. But God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? Amen. God does have a sense of humor. And God turns the Apostle Paul, the very one who regarded us Gentiles as dogs, God turns him around and totally transforms him. And now he says, you know what? You're the one I want to go to take this message to these Gentiles. Paul becomes, as it tells you here in Ephesians chapter 3, he is now given the responsibility to share this matchless, incredible message with the Gentiles and to let them know the revelation of this mystery, that God has brought us all one. So how do you think the Jews liked it? You better believe the Jewish men, despite Paul's incredible credentials, he was this big shot Jew. They were mad as ever. How mad? Oh, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Keep your Bible at Ephesians, because we have to come back there. But look, let's look at Acts chapter 21. Let me read for you what happened here in Acts 21, verse 27. Are you glad God has made us one? Acts 21, 27. And just for background, Paul had gone traveling around the world, and he was now in Jerusalem, and he met with the church in Jerusalem, and they warned him that there may be a little problem, because some people think he wasn't following the law. And so they gave him a recommendation that there were four men who needed to follow a particular Jewish rite of purification. And they said to him, Paul, take these four men, you join them, you do the rite of purification, and you pay all that needs to be paid. And so Paul followed through to let them realize that he was one of those who still followed the law. Verse 27. Now when the 7 days, Acts 21, 27. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." It was a lie. "For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." We just suppose it. So since we suppose it, it's so. "And all the city was disturbed. And the people ran together, seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut of the temple. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the guards that all Jerusalem was in the uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, the Jews stopped beating Paul. Then the Roman commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. Some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken to the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, 'Away with him!'" Have we heard that before? Have we heard that cry before? "Away with him!" Can you imagine? These people, what has worked them up into such a frenzy? What has made them so crazy? What has made them so bloodthirsty? What has made them so determined to kill Paul? It's all about the presence of a Gentile. Did you realize that? A Gentile. The racial hostility, the hostility between Jew and Gentiles is so great that these people are worked up into a frenzy. And this man who has had such an outreach to Gentiles, he deserves to die. Now for some of us, we have a hard time understanding. What? Why get so worked up over that? Well, why all this prejudice? But before we start pointing too many fingers, let's stop. Let's stop and talk. What about you? What about me? What sort of prejudices are you dealing with?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You see, sometimes we are very quick to point the finger at others. But is there some prejudice you're struggling with? You know, for most of us, it's not about Jew and Gentile. Sometimes it's race. Do you know sometimes, I grew up in Jamaica, and do you know sometimes there were some of us who looked like me, some look a little darker, some look a little lighter. And do you know sometimes those who looked a little lighter felt they were better than the ones who looked a little darker? Did you know that my dad and some other brothers started a church in a place called Trenchtown? Did you know that those poor kids from Trenchtown, almost anywhere they applied for a job, once people heard that they were from Trenchtown, they discriminated against them? What's your issue? What is it that's working you up? Is it social class? You know, sometimes because we have a little more money in our bank account, we feel we're better than somebody else. What is it? What is your prejudice? Is it because you have a couple more degrees behind your name? You see, God wants us to deal with these issues today. You see, this whole issue about God has made us one is important because we need to really get a hold of it. God has made us one, and we need to recognize the oneness that God has made. Amen. But you know, one of the challenges the Christian church has, because many of us have challenges and prejudices against those who are homosexual. Oh, I don't like homosexuals. If you are prejudiced against a homosexual, you will never preach the gospel and share the life-transforming message of the gospel with them. And my friend, this morning, God wants to challenge every person seated here to deal with your prejudices. As we deal with this whole issue that God has made us one, we need to deal with our prejudices. Now, it doesn't mean, what is interesting, I wasn't going to say this, but let me go here. Because some would like to say, well, if Jesus was here today, this Jesus the revolutionary, he would change. No, Jesus wouldn't change a thing. Because Jesus the revolutionary changed what needed to be changed, and he still says what is sin. And what he calls sin is still sin. And the homosexual lifestyle, the Bible still says is sin. And God is giving a better way. But we need to make sure we're not prejudiced in any way against those who adopt that type of lifestyle, but that we are willing to sit by their side, put our hands around them, and share the gospel of the saving grace of Christ with them. Amen? Amen. But hey, this story talks a little bit about prejudice. But do you know another thing I saw as I was preparing from Paul's experience? Do you realize that? Who was Paul taking the message to? Talk to me. Paul was taking the message to who? Is that us? What Paul was suffering, I want us to be very personal if you don't mind. Paul was going through all of this to get the gospel to you and me. Don't miss that. Sometimes we love to think about the Gentiles as a group. It's you. It's me. It's me who was so far off. He was determined to get the gospel to me so that now I can be near and I can shout hallelujah. I'm as near as Jesus is. And so I put in your... I want us to look on a verse that I'm going to put on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 28. And don't worry, this message, although there's a third point, don't worry, that's a two-minute point. We're going to be done very soon. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 28. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. And I want, again, as we read, my brother, my sister, just remember, this is being, all of this is because of you and me. Apostle says, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one so that I could bring the gospel to put your name. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Has anyone ever tried to stone you to death? Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. He was in? You got the message? He was in danger from his Gentiles. He was in danger in the city. He was in danger in the country. He was in danger at sea. He was in danger from false believers. He toiled and labored, gone without sleep, and hungry, and you can read the rest on your own, but you got the message. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? How much are you willing to sacrifice? We have been beneficiaries of the suffering and sacrifice of so many. What are you willing to sacrifice? There are people waiting to hear the gospel. You say, but boy, Paul must have been sorry that he had to go through all this. You may be surprised. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8, and hear what he says. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Apostle Paul is saying, it's a grace. And one of the definitions we use for grace is what? Unmerited favor. The Apostle Paul, having gone through all this drama, he's writing in jail. A Roman guard is attached to him as he writes. And he writes and he says, all this drama that happened to me, it was God's grace. It was God's unmerited favor. What a privilege God gave me to share this gospel with so many people. And my friend, I want to ask you, do you recognize the privilege that God has given us? Sometimes we make it such a burden, but what a privilege God has given us to share with the world the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this morning he's asking somebody here to make a commitment. And I believe he's asking some young person, perhaps a young man, to listen. Are you willing to serve me? Are you willing to be that preacher of the gospel? Young men want to be everything. We want to be doctors, lawyers. What about being a preacher of the gospel to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ? What an incredible gift and privilege it is. So, brothers and sisters, I close. The response to the mystery. I wrap up very quickly. There are three takeaways from this message that each demand a response. And I'm going to say them very quickly. Number one, we must deal with our prejudices. And this morning, as God speaks to you, and he has pointed out your area of prejudice, I wonder this morning, you're going to say to God, God, I realize this stuff is not right. And God, I want to change. I'm willing to change. Will you help me? We must deal with our prejudices. We must commit to sharing our faith, even though it may cost. My friend, are you willing to share your faith, even though it may cost you? Oh, I tell you, there's going to be such incredible blessing. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, after all he went through, he was able to say, what a statement. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What an incredible thing to be able to say. With certainty, he was satisfied that he had done exactly what God put him here to do. Are you sure you have achieved what God has put you here to do? Are you achieving it? May God help us this morning that we would say, God, I am committing today to start sharing my faith. But then third, we must draw near to God. God has made all the provisions for us to draw near to him. We must draw near to God. I believe there are some Christians here who, if we were to go and do a survey, you'd say, Pastor, I don't feel very near to God right now. But as a preacher said, if you're not near to God, guess who moved? And this morning God says, come near. Perhaps there's a Christian who needs to say in their heart, I've wandered far away from God. But God, now I'm coming home. Let this be your day of drawing near. But then finally, there is that person here this morning. There is somebody here this morning. And you're not near to God because you have never come to Jesus. You have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life to save you. But this morning you can. This morning you can say, Lord, here I am. Save me today. And he'll bring you right near to God.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin.
I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.